Before I start reading the scripture, in my own life, the revelation that God is a father, the truth that God is a father, is probably one of the things in my life that has been in my Christian walk has been the more difficult to grasp. I understand the theory of it, but my heart has struggled to fully understand the truth of God is my Father. And a little bit of background, this is not the focus of the preach this morning, but a little bit of background is that my mom and dad got divorced when I was one. When I was one, and my mom married again, and when I was about 7 years old, my parents, all my biological dad and my new dad and my mother, they came together, or they decided together my dad, to whom my mom is now married, he's going to adopt me legally. So, and my biological dad, he got married again and started a family, and that's a whole different story. So when I came to salvation when I was 16 years old, it was totally, totally for me life changing, radically. My lever, it was a radical life altering moment. For me, and then 2 years later, I was 18 years old or 17 years old, and I felt the call into ministry, and I went into ministry, and I started leading the youth, and then from youth I went into eldership, and from eldership I started leading a congregation. And then somewhere there, the cracks started showing. And there was a moment in my life where I repented of sin. And as I repented of sin and trying to deal with the sin, what I realized was underneath this is Christopher is a pastor with an orphan spirit. Christopher is, I'm in ministry, I'm supposed to tell people about Jesus, I'm supposed to lead people closer to God. But what I had realized being in ministry, like standing in front of you today, I realized was that deep down in my heart, I did not trust that I have a father who loves me. Theoretically, obviously, I believed it, but in the truth of it, I believed that I'm on my own. I obviously never said it, but when I opened myself up to see what is in Christopher, at the core of Christopher, it was this thing that Christopher is on his own. Yes, there is a father. He is good, but he's distant. And maybe I think a big part of that was my growing up experience and my experience with earthly fathers. And yeah, that. Ek gaan net vra, as die kinders bietjie, ek sukkel om my trek te, as die kinders bietjie raserig raak, daar is die toddler room. My experience with earthly fathers was, and I realized with my one dad, he had a difficult relationship with his dad, so I don't blame him, but it was, and even today still, it's like for me, Jesus, I can easily relate to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, I can easily, But this thing of God being a father, it's like, it makes it personal, you know. A father is personal. It's like, I'm a father, and these are my two children, and it's, my relationship with them is not formal, it's personal. Dit is nie my verhouding met my twee kinders, is nie... It's a relationship. And I've often found in my life that when it comes to this thing of God being not just a good father, I can believe he's a good father, but it's something else believing that he's a good personal father. All right, so that's the backdrop to this morning's preach. So let's start with Luke 15, verse 11 to 32. And it's a long portion of scripture that I'm going to read. So julle moet saam met my lees. It's the, in die Bybel word the story is called the story of the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son. Is in Afrikaans die verhaal van die verlore seun, is ek reg? All right. Verse 11, let's start reading together. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the youngest son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is now found. Lord, I pray this morning as we read your word together that the spirit inside of us would encounter you, God, your spirit this morning. And that, Lord, this morning that the truth would penetrate our hearts. Lord, that this morning we would not hear just a mere message, but that you would truly impact our hearts with the truth of the gospel, with the good news of Jesus Christ. And that this morning, Lord, beyond any doubt, that every single one of us here, beyond any doubt, would be absolutely convinced, not just in our heads, but in our hearts, that we have a Father who loves us. In Jesus' name, amen. I've titled the message, The Prodigal Father. Now, in your Bible, the heading of this story says, The Prodigal Son, the parable of the prodigal son. But this morning's message is called the parable, not the parable, but yeah, the parable of the prodigal father. Because I actually think the name of that story, the parable of the prodigal son, is actually it actually causes us to miss the story. Because the story that I've just read to you, it's not the story of the prodigal son. It is the story of the prodigal father. And if I'm going to put the meaning of the word prodigal up, that you can quickly see this. The definition of prodigal says spending money or using resources freely and recklessly, wastefully extravagant. The second meaning is having or giving something on a lavish scale. You see, this is the story not of the prodigal son. This is the story of the prodigal father, because we have a father who has unlimited resource, and he freely, and I want to almost say, use the word recklessly, spends his resource on us, on me and you. His love and his forgiveness is on a lavish scale. Would you agree with me? And so this morning, this is not the story about the prodigal son. Yes, that's the heading in your Bible. But when I read this story, this is the story about a father who loves. It's a story of a father who loves. And in this story, there's not one, but two prodigal sons, two lost sons. And so the hero of the story is not the young son coming home. The hero of the story is the father who loves. And I think we get a little bit fixated. We all know this story, but we get fixated on the son that went away and that came home. But there are two lost sons. There's twee verlore seuns in this story. The younger son and the older brother. And both of them are lost. Both of them are not in the relationship with their father that they should be. The younger son, when he says to his dad, Dad, give me my share. He's essentially saying to his dad, Dad, I wish you were dead. I'm interested in what you give me, but I'm not interested in you. I don't want you. I want what you can give me. I want your money. I want what you're going to give me the day that you actually dead. So in essence, the younger son is saying to his dad, Dad, I wish you were dead. And so the dad actually honors this young brother's request, and he divides the property, divides the inheritance, and he says, "Young, yeah, go." And the younger son gets his money, and he sets off, and he finds himself in this place where he realizes that which he thought would give him joy and peace and happiness in life is mere empty. That it runs out. It's a pit that whose water is now, it's now out. That's the younger brother. But then there's the older brother. And I actually think the older brother, though the part of the story that focuses on him is but a short piece towards the end of the story, I actually think we should take note of the older brother, because in the end of the day, there's a warning in this story for us, and the warning is that of the older brother, not of the younger brother. Because the younger brother, we know that we know, there was a party, there was a feast. The younger son was restored to his father. But we don't know. We don't know whether the older brother went in. We actually don't know if the older brother ever got restored to the father. And so in my life, when I was 16 years old, I just said, I gave my life to God. I came from a point where I was stuck in, I was in high school, I was in a boys' hostel, I was smoking and drinking and swearing and watching pornography and doing a lot of things that I shouldn't be doing. So when I heard the message and the good news that God loves me, a sinner, yo, for me that was good news, eh? And so I couldn't believe it. So that day I gave my life to God. That God loved me the way I am was just beyond me. So I gave my life to God that day, and I came home, as to if we can say it like that. And so I feel like I can relate to the younger son, because I feel like I was searching for meaning in life. I was still 16, but I was like, what is this all about? And then I heard the good news of the gospel of that Jesus loves me in spite of my sin. He loves me though I've done a bunch of things that He does not approve, but He loves me. He loves me and He forgives me, and He's got a new plan and a new purpose for my life. And so that day, my life radically changed. I was like the young son coming home. But then I've just shared the story with you. I can also relate with like being the older brother. Because I stood in front of a church and I was preaching to people and I was telling people about Jesus. But I was in my binnenmee, I was the older brother. I was trying to work for God. I was trying to earn. I was trying to work for so that God would approve of me. And that He would give me something that's of value. And so for me, when I read the story of the prodigal son, I actually think we should take note of the older brother, because the older brother is a warning for me and for you that's sitting here in church today. He's a warning that we could do all the right things. We could look from the outside like we've got our life sorted out. Ons gaan kerk toe. Ek lees my dagstukkie. I'm praying. I'm going to cell group, and I'm doing externally. I'm doing all the right things. Because that's the warning that we can do all the right. We can look like we've got it all sorted out, and we've got all our ducks in a row, but actually we're still an orphan because we don't believe that God is a good father who is personal. And that's actually just what this preach is all about today. It's like, I think if I were to ask us today, who believes that God is a good father? I think all of us would say, yes, I believe that. But deep down, do you know that He's a good personal father? For you. Not for the world, but for you. For jou and for me. You see, the father said to the older brother, if we can just put Luke 15, 31, the next one on Luke 15. So the older brother, he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But the, when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. We can be born-again Christians and not know deep down those words. You are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. I want to ask you today, do you know that God's approval is on your life? Or do you feel like you have to do something to get God's approval? Because I never said it and never chose to believe it, but I believed, like, if I'm a better preacher or a better church leader, then God is more pleased with me. And so I started performing, that's the word, performing for God's love, for God's approval, for God's affirmation. And if the church was doing well, then I was happy because I was performing, which meant my father was more pleased with me. And when the church was not doing so well, I was down in the dumps because I wasn't performing, and which meant that God was not pleased with me. That's an orphan spirit. It means, an orphan spirit is simply this. I know we've heard this, but it's simply this. Your relationship with God, your Father, is based on performance. But then Jesus enters the framework. And we see at Jesus' baptism, in Matthew 3, verse 16 to 17, we see this. When Jesus was baptized, now it's important for you to just quickly take note. When Jesus was baptized, at that moment in his life, Jesus had not yet done any miracles. Jesus had not yet done any preaching. He hasn't healed anyone yet. He hasn't, at that moment in Jesus' life, he was simply a carpenter. And then John the Baptist comes into the framework and he starts getting the people, the Messiah is here, he's coming. There's one coming after me whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. And then John the Baptist, Jesus comes to John the Baptist, and then John the Baptist says, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then Jesus comes to John the Baptist, and Jesus says to him, you must baptize me. And this is what happened. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And I believe one of the most important things in Jesus' life was these words, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And it's significant because Jesus is not hearing his Father saying this to him because he's about to do miracles, or because, or he has done miracles, or he has done healings. No, his Father is simply saying to him, you are my beloved Son whom I love. Not because you are Jesus the Messiah, not because you are the one who does healings and miracles and you are the one who preaches truth. No, you are the beloved Son I love. And Jesus, his ministry starts after this. From a place where he knows that he does not have to perform to get his Father's love and approval. He already has it. He didn't get the approval of his Father by doing ministry. He already just had it because his Father loved him. And so Jesus started his ministry from this secure position where he knew that he was loved by his Father, whether he did miracles or not. Do you know that God loves you whether you read your Bible or not? Do you know that God loves you whether you are a leader in church or not? Do you know that God loves you not based on how good of a Christian you've been this week or this month or this year or this? And this is our greatest need. This is your greatest need, is that you want to be loved. It's humanity's greatest craving. It is our greatest desire, is to be loved. But to be loved not by what we do, but simply to be loved for being loved. And I want to read you a quote from Tim Keller, one of my favorite quotes. To be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is a lot like being loved by God. It is what we need more than anything. You see, my fear is that if you truly know me, you would not love me. Because if you saw inside of me, maybe the journey I've been on and the thoughts I've struggled with. You see, this is our greatest fear, is that if people truly know me, they won't love me. Because they'll see that I'm not that great. But God knows us. God knows you. He knows your struggles. He knows your dark thoughts. He knows the things that you are not proud of. He knows the things that you wish that if you can just snap your fingers, they are gone. God knows those things, and yet God loves you. God knows me and he loves me. Romans says this, 5:8, Romans 5:8. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so today I'm landing and closing my message with a question, and the question is this: are you maybe still inside of your heart, do you still have aspects, maybe, of the older brother? Because the older brother believed that his father loved him on the condition that he has to perform, he has to work hard, he has to obey. And obviously working hard and obedience is a good thing, but it's not a good thing if we believe that how we behave and what we do determines our standing with our Heavenly Father, determines whether our Father loves us or not. The truth is, our Heavenly Father, he loves us. Punt, stop, klar. He loves you. You see, I know that year, even today as I'm standing here, but I'm not so sure if I always believe it in here. And this is not a message just for maybe younger guys. It's for all of us, regardless of how old you are. For me, it was in my life what contributed to me being in this place where I really, it's still difficult for me to believe that he is a good father personally. Why? Why is it difficult for me to believe that? Because my experience with earthly fathers. Today, this is just the reality, but today if I am in dire straits, unfortunately, the first one I call is not my dad. So, and there's things that happened and things that went not according, I believe, to God's plan in his perfect universe and world. So there's things that need to, but God is a heavenly Father. And so, and maybe you're sitting here today and regardless of how old you are, but you are struggling, possibly struggling to believe in the goodness of a personal father because of your experience with your earthly father. Or your experience with your earthly father was one where if you did well, if you did good, your father was happy and he approved. And if you did not do well, and if you did, then he was distant and disconnected and angry or disappointed. And so you've come to believe that your relationship with God, your father, is based on how good I am. And so you try to work up and be good so that our Heavenly Father, so that your Heavenly Father can approve of you. But your Heavenly Father today wants to tell you, no. Your Heavenly Father's approval of you is not based on how good you are. His approval of you is based on how good he is. And so in my life, I've been both these brothers. I've been the younger son who came home, but I've also been the older brother who was in the father's house, who was a Christian, born again Christian, but at my core, I did not believe that he is a good personal father to me. And I believe today I'm in a better place, but it's still a journey that I'm walking out. There are days when I still sit with doubt and unbelief that he is a personal father who loves me. And maybe you're here today and you did have a wonderful, and you have a wonderful relationship with your earthly dad, and he was a good example to you of what the Heavenly Father is like. But there are no perfect dads. Only one. And he's the Heavenly Father. And so, but today's message for me is about, and if I look across the room, all of us, at least I think, we believe in here that he is good. He's a good father, like we sang about. But do we believe it in our hearts? Do we believe in our hearts that he's a good father to me? That at the end of the day, my life is not in my hands, but it's in his hands. Can I pray for us? See, I'm going to land this. Worship you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Marjorie. Worship you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that you would come. And show us. Show us where maybe we are the older brother. Come and show us where maybe our experience with our earthly fathers has radically impacted the way that we relate to you, our Heavenly Father. Come and show us where our relationship with you is about performance. And when I'm performing, I feel good. And when I'm not performing, I feel less good. Deep down, Lord, come and show each one of us I know, Lord, in my own life, there has been moments, even when I'm in ministry leading a congregation, there are moments when I believe that it's up to me, Lord. It's up to Christopher to figure it out and do it yourself and get. But I know that's not the truth. The truth is, it's not up to me. It's up to you, God. My Heavenly Father. Worship you, Lord. Just right now, Lord, come and minister. Come and show us, Lord, where we are maybe like the older brother. Maybe, Lord, there's someone here, Lord, that is the younger brother. Yes, he's in church, that you are in church this morning, which is a good place to be in. But when you go out these doors and you're in this world, you're running away from God into things that you know this morning, those things will leave you empty. They will not give you what you want. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Abba, Father. Abba. Abba. Papa God. Your relationship with God is it more like you're drinking a coffee with another person that you know, but it's a bit formal, it's a bit stiff, you're on good speaking terms, but or is your relationship with God like one you embrace? Is it like a father sitting and playing with his children? Was your relationship with God like for meal? Like you do your duty. I've read my Bible. I've said my prayers. I've got it out of the way. Now I can go on. I've performed. Oh, God wants to set us free from a mindset of performance.